Greetings, Tyler here with Understand Contract Law and YouWin.com with another free audio e-newsletter of the week. And so we're just going to jump right in. I don't have any announcements right now. Somebody sent an email question. Will your firm allow my donation of $1,500 for the forms and support included as described be settled by, quote, accepted for value, quote? I don't know if what our organization is classified as a firm. I don't really know the definition of firm, but will your firm or company allow my donation to be settled by accepted for value? If the answer is affirmative, please describe how I might obtain the proper donation form that I could endorse in the manner described above. I guess he's talking about accepted for value. Thank you for your prompt response. Okay. If you're at a certain phase in the learning curve, it's kind of a fair question. My initial reaction is to get a little bit offended by people that ask this occasionally, but I understand and respect where people are in their learning curve, and I'd be happy to give people a fair, respectful answer that that they deserve. So this was my response to him. Respectfully, you must have not read or heard our stuff on our website or on our audio newsletters about how, except or in our status course, about how accepted for value is not a way to eliminate debt or discharge debt. It is merely a way to claim ownership over a legal document that has your trust name on it that you have privatized as a private trust foundation and copyrighted in common law properly. It takes away the legal effect from the document. This is after you've become a secured party creditor and reorganized, reestablished your private common law trust, private foundation. That is all accepted for value is. So just to go off on an offshoot here before I read the rest of my response to him, you know, I have my trust binder. I have it in a three-ring binder. I have all my trust meeting minutes and declaration of trust and all my documents in there for my all capital letters name. And I have lots of documents in there that I've accepted for value. They're kept in my possession, or they've kept in my trust's possession. That's what it's called to, quote, put something into your trust. When you get any legal notices that you disagree with, after you're fully secured party, you stamp accepted for value, blah, 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 language on it, sign it, date it, and you put it in your possession. You're not sending it to a creditor or a debt collector in order to pay your debt. You are taking possession of any and all property. This is what the common law copyright states. When you do your UCC filings, you post a public constructive notice of your common law copyright that your legal name is your property, that you've taken away the act of the pledge of the birth certificate registration, that you're the legal age of majority, that it is a contract that was induced by fraud that you did not consent to, that you did not have the capacity to consent to because you were a baby, you were a minor. So after the age of 18, when you are the legal age of majority and you are competent and you're not mentally handicapped or, you know, have any sort of disability or mental condition where you can't, or you need a legal guardian and you can't handle your own affairs, the fact that you are of legal competent age of majority, you've taken control of and reorganized the trust of your legal all capital letters name, and you assert yourself as a trustee position, and you send notices to the Secretary of State of your birth state and several other places, and you let them know, here's my UCC filings, it's constructive public notice, you need to take notice of it, now I'm giving you actual notice of it because I'm actually delivering a notice in the mail to you that you need to go and look up my UCC filing and see all that I've done, and it includes, among many other documents, hold harmless indemnification agreement, common law copyright notice, W-8-B-E-N affidavit of your non-resident alien status as it relates to the United States and the Internal Revenue Code and all those different things, all those different language. So there's a lot of clarification. By the time it's all said and done, there's approximately 30 to 34 pages, depending, give or take a page. I had one guy the other day say, oh, well, you did my filings and there's only 31 pages on it. Yeah, because, and I think I put out there somewhere 33 was the number, because some people it's 33, some people it's 29. Listen, sometimes you can fit the text on two pages and sometimes it bleeds over to three pages because you don't have enough room to fit it. You put an extra, you know, you put larger size text, you put extra spacing. Okay, so the exact number is not the point, but the content on the pages, right? The content on the pages and the number of, there's probably 12 affidavits in there, is what matters. And as long as you have all the content on the pages, when we file them, it takes approximately 30 or so pages of filings on your UCCs, and about two of them is your common law copyright notice. So anybody utilizing and acting as administrator, trustee, or executor over your legal all capital letters name is no longer allowed to do so. So if you get any notices or demands or debt collectors or tax bills or whatever from these people trying to administer your estate, trust, whatever, they might be making a mistake. So you need to, or they are making a mistake, right? But maybe they don't know that. So you take their documents and you put them into your trust. You stamped accepted for value on them, you put them into your trust, and then you can file a UCC3 amendment to, or addendum/amendment to your original UCCs, and then send them notice that you have put their documents into your trust. Accepted for value has nothing to do with paying somebody with credits by sending them a document. Now, when you do send a response to any of these companies or agencies or departments that are trying to do something to you, collect a debt against you, send you a legal threat, you know, notice, whatever, yes, you can include as an exhibit the evidence that you've discharged the legal effect, taken away the legal effect, nullified their documents. The threats in their documents are no more, have no legal weight, because you are a secured party. You show them evidence of such by putting copies of your UCCs. You have to include all 34 pages in there when you send them the packet. You can, it doesn't hurt, but you could just give them some of the documents that are more significant, as well as the filing number, which is going to be stamped on it. You need to get the stamped copy back from the Secretary of State UCC department so that it has the time, the date, the stamp, and the certification on there that this is a copy of a recorded version of the UCC. It's got the file number on it, it's got the state that it was filed in, be it New York or Florida or wherever, and you're going to show them at least some of the pages, and they can look up and read the whole thing and all the amendments that you've done to them, and so on and so forth. So you, one of your exhibits in your response is your UCC proof that you're a secured party, and then another exhibit, you might make that exhibit B or exhibit C or exhibit D based on how many different pieces of evidence you're compiling together to build a case to show them, hey, I have my stuff together, and what you're doing is unlawful. You need to cease and desist and stop, otherwise you're injuring me. But to make that case, you need to build a case, a packet of documents as evidence and exhibits to show them that you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about. Okay, so you got your exhibits of your UCC, you got your exhibits of the statements, notices, bills that they've been sending you, all copies of your discharge accepted for value documents. You keep the originals and you're making copies of those, and you can put all those as discharged chattel paper and have that as an exhibit. Okay, and depending on the nature of the situation of what you're doing, you might send an actual notice of conditional acceptance with an affidavit. It might be a negative averment affidavit attached to it. There might be other notices of demand, cease and desist. There might be various different things. There might be a demand for a full debt assessment. There might be a lot of different things that you put on the top, on the cover, But then you're going to put your exhibits and you're going to say, please see the attached enclosed documents. And you're showing them, I've taken away the legal effect of all your documents. I'm a secured party. You cannot create any invoices in my name whatsoever. So that is what accepted for a value is, okay? From our point of view, how we use it. So there is a way that you can discharge debts, but let's talk about that with a different conversation. So let me pause for a couple seconds so you can just take all that in, process that information. If you need to listen to it over again, you can listen to it over again. Let me just take a drink of my drink right here. I'm gonna let you guys process that for about 3 seconds. Okay, some of you know this stuff already, but there's a lot of misconceptions out there in this community that you can just write accepted for value language on a 45-degree angle, and you can just shoot that off and pay your debts. And this was probably mostly popularized on the internet by this guy Doug Riddle. And there's a video out there, and there's people copying his sample document to copy from template, and it's all over on many other people's websites. And I don't know why people keep it up if it doesn't work. It just really doesn't work. It really just doesn't work. Try it out yourself, and you see that it doesn't work. So, anyways, that's accepted. That's the myths about accepted for value. Now, how do you effectively discharge debt? Yeah, you're going to accept for value a lot of those documents to take away the legal effect of them, but you're putting them in your trust. You're not, by putting the accepted for value stamp on a document, you're discharging, nullifying the legal effect of it if you're a proper secured party and have your proper UCCs filed. But by putting the accepted for value stamp on the document, you do not create money. You do not create value to the document. In fact, you take away all value of the document. Let me say that again. When you accept for value a document and put in your trust, you take away any and all value. It's not worth anything. It's worth zero. It's not worth anything because the invoice that they're trying to get from you, or the statement, or whatever demand it is, has no legal force and effect. It's nullified. Now, that's not necessarily going to get them to give up. I'm not saying that these people will give up easily. Maybe I'll do another recording, and the whole topic will be when and what situations do these people actually give up? What's the point of no return for them? How much do you have to push them? And can you do it outside of court, inside of court, this, that? How far do you need to go with them? And it's different in many different situations based on my observations and experience, okay? And for many, many years now, getting 300 emails and calls a week. And sometimes we get calls and emails from attorneys and even judges and different people. And they share things with us. So I'm just trying to break through the myths and the misconceptions and try to get people on the right track to do things that actually work. It's really a fantastic thing when something actually works. But we get 300 calls and emails a week for the last 5 years. Maybe in the beginning, the first year, maybe it wasn't as much, but we built it up and we get 300 inquiries a week. And so we read them, we look at them, we look at what people are doing, we see what's working, we see what's not working. Occasionally here or there, there's a success or two or three. I think I've gotten maybe 3 or 4 successes in 5 years that people just wanted to share with me. Hey, look at my success. And that's about it. 99% of people contacting us because they've tried Doug Riddle's process, or they tried this one's process, or they tried that one's process, and I don't really like to name names and things like that, but a lot of people have tried a lot of things from other different websites, and then when they see it doesn't work and they're too far, you know, in the quicksand with the situation, then they eventually keep searching online and they find us, and that's where we have most of our overflow from people who can't get any results with anyone else, any of the other websites. I mean, I have a list of them. A couple of them are okay. Majority of them don't get results and their clients overflow to us. I'm not gonna put that out on recording. I'm not gonna bash anyone I respect. Some of the people I don't know, so I can't judge, and I'm not gonna defame anybody in particular. Other than the Doug Riddle process, I don't know Doug Riddle. I'm not gonna criticize an individual that I don't know. Maybe he's on the right track today. I don't know. I just don't know. So I'm not criticizing anyone but the process as it's published all over the internet, even the people don't know him, is incorrect. I mean, I'm sure even he, possibly even he will tell you. I don't know. I mean, if you try that, it's just not going to work. But be my guest. Be my guest. So there is a way to discharge debts, though, but it's not the Doug Riddle A for B simplistic process. I have to talk, you know, because there's accepted for value is a process. I just explained how I use it. But the process that most people, when they talk to us and say, oh, can I just accept for value this bill and send this, or can I accept for value your company's invoice and pay you guys, what people are talking about is taking a one-page document and putting accepted for value language on there, and it creates that document is somehow worth positive value that you can deposit into a bank and get cash from the ATM for, or whatever people think that it is, and no, that's not the case. So that is the simplistic accepted for value process, or the simplistic Doug Riddle accepted for value process, as it was, I think, probably created it got on the internet, and at some point it went viral, and people were using it and trying it, and for some reason people are still talking about it, but about 8, 9, 10 years ago. Okay, so if you find this stuff online, it's dated 8, 9, 10 years ago. In my observations and from all the people reporting what they're trying, it doesn't work, and it hasn't worked. So anyways, if you are a secure party, you can discharge banking or financial institution loans or court judgments, because all courts in the U.S. and in the States are all financial institutions anyway. So you can discharge any financial institution, like a bank or a court, loans or judgments through the Fed window in D.C. And the debts will go to zero. They will be discharged and you will get a zero. However, nobody in the process actually gets paid any currency or credit at all. It's just zeroed out, okay? So all your people that are trying to use this technology or learn this technology so that you can help people, oh, I want to help. There's no one to help by discharging debt from them. All it's doing is helping you not have to pay the debt back because you don't awfully owe it anymore. And if you want to help other people that have unfair burdens on themselves from court judgments and student loans and credit cards that they just don't want to pay anymore and all these different things, that's fine, because the bank are bailouts and because they're not loaning any of their own money to you. And if you want to discharge that, I 110% support that. The bank's never loaned you any of their own money. They got paid 2, 3, 4, 5 times already, especially with the mortgage. If you pay your mortgage off in 30 years, you paid it 3 times the amount from the interest, right, and the adjustable interest rates and all these different things, and the late fees and all these different things. So we're all for helping people to get out of debt, but you can't help people that you're discharging the debt from, okay? So if they're a big corporation, a big corporate bank, a court, yes, let's help those people to get those burdens off of them and to have the debt discharged to zero and the legal effect of it being eliminated, discharged. Okay, but just to clarify, you cannot, as far as to my knowledge and my experience with 300 phone calls, emails over 5 years, plus the people I've met in different positions and the people who've done this even longer than me, you cannot discharge debt in the common law between a man and a woman. I will repeat, the true debt that you owe to another man or woman that worked and signed a contract between you and them, you are supposed to pay them. That is, in my belief, that is a very important thing, to pay your debts to other men and women, or even a company that a man or a woman is operating through that had did the labor, did the work for you, and you understood the terms and conditions, and both parties got something about equal exchange. The right thing to do is to pay your debts back to men and women. I don't care if you pay it back to the government. I don't care if you pay it back to the banks. That's a different story, okay? But imagine stiffing someone who did construction work on your house or fixed your plumbing or your roofing or your siding. Imagine if that was you doing work, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and, you know, crawling out of bed and leaving your wife or husband and going and working on a construction site and then coming at the end of the week and not being given a paycheck. Wouldn't you want the paycheck? You don't want that guy to, you know, your boss to come over to you and say, oh, here's an accepted for value document. Fuck you, I'm not paying you. Here, go do something with this because I read this on Doug Riddle's website. You wouldn't really like that, now would you? So think about the karma. Think about if you think this piece of paper is worth nothing because it is worth nothing, would you accept that and would you be happy with that, or is it right to pay people back that you owe money to, okay? You want that man, do you want that man or woman not to be able to pay their rent or their groceries to feed their family or the gas in their car to get from point A to point B? That's not fair, okay? This is very dishonorable, people that are trying to do this, and anyone who thinks that they can do that, in my opinion, is part of the same scummy system that we are trying to get away from. We're trying to create a voluntary community of honorable men and women in the common law away from these bankers. Okay? So, no offense, I'm not saying the person who wrote me this email is in any way, like I said, I'm just answering the question and the different scenarios. So, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but no, the answer is no. We are in common law and need an equal exchange of energy and labor for time. Otherwise, we won't work for free. We have to pay our people in real money, just like you do, and pay to live just like you do. So maybe, if you want, go on your own and get a loan from a financial institution and feel free to cash advance it and pay us with it. And then if you decide after that point to stiff the banks or discharge the debt owed to them or send them dispute letters or just hide and avoid them and whatever you choose to do with them, or make your monthly minimum payments or stop making your monthly minimum payments, whatever you choose to do with between you and the banks, I'm fine with. And if you want some education about debt dispute with credit card companies or business loans or different things like that, I can provide that. There's tons of information and there's tons of resources I can direct you to, and it's a very, very effective process to get the banks off your back. So I'm fine with that. Go for it. But come up with the cash on your own, or come up with the gold and silver on your own. I'll take, you know, lawful money. And I would love to take lawful money. So come up with the gold and silver, or come up with the Bitcoin, or come up with any form of currency that can be broken up into small denominations, preferably, and distributed to people that I work with and for equipment and computers and printers and files and office supplies and things like that, and ink cartridges and thumb drives and wires and, you know, all sorts of things. Anything like that is acceptable. So anyways, just to come in a full circle here, I give the guy an answer. No, we do not accept accepted for value as a payment for our services. I hope you understand why, and in case anyone else was thinking. And along the lines of answering this question, I hope it was an opportunity for many of you to learn a little bit more about accepted for value and what it means and what it is and what it does. And I know there's going to be even more questions now, so just feel free to email your questions. I will read them all. I won't respond personally to them, but I will take the compilation of the questions that have not been answered yet and answer them on these future free audio recording e-newsletters so that people can learn from our perspective what we've come to believe is the truth and what we've become to believe is effective, and, you know, really trying to debunk a lot of the stuff that's out there. And most of the stuff that's out there is misinformation, half-truths, and falls short of getting the goods, of getting the results. So, you know, I hope, for those of you who don't know me yet that well, I hope to get you to know me better, and I hope to know you better. But I'm kind of a no bullshit type of a guy. I'm kind of a meat and potatoes, cut to the chase type of a guy, and I don't like beating around the bush. I don't like giving people answers just to make them happy. I like giving people answers that are accurate. Let me say that again. And In case I offend anybody along the way, I apologize. And I've gotten a lot better over the last 5 years. But really, I'm not going to sugarcoat things. And I'm not going to say things to people in email. Sometimes I don't have time to call people back and give people answers via voce with my voice in a nice packaged way. Sometimes I have to type it in a message. I don't have a lot of time to think about what words to put in there, but I try my best. And occasionally, one or two or three times a year, maybe, I might offend someone and I apologize. But it hasn't happened in a while, actually. I'm getting really good at it. But I get 300 calls and emails a week, and I try to respond. I think in these audios, I can really respond in depth, and you can really understand where I'm coming from rather than just giving people quick answers, because when I give people quick answers, I know we can't do that. People tend to get offended, and then they start to fight with me through email. That hasn't happened in a long time because I don't do that anymore. I just don't answer the emails. So I will read all your emails, and I will put them into these audio recordings so that we can have a better discussion about this and really hash out these answers and these questions and these concepts. That's really what I found the best way to do it. If I do respond to you, sometimes it'll be a little short, but I would way, way, way rather give you an answer that I know is accurate rather than what you want to hear. Okay? And on a caveat on that is, you know, 75% of the people that come to us and say, hey, can you teach me how to do this? Or is there a way to do this? Or send me instructions on how to do this? Or can I hire you to do this? 75% of the people think they want one thing, but they don't know there's a different way to get ultimately what they really want, right? So for example, this is a common thing. We don't discharge auto loans, but obviously if you had a credit card that you weren't maxed out yet, you could take some of the credit from the credit card, pay off the auto loan, get the title, own your car, and then you can discharge your credit card debt, or you can you can do debt dispute with the credit card. There's lots of different things, right? So there's a side way to accomplish your end goal of getting rid of the debts, having your property free and clear, or you know, whatever the situation is, having if you're trying to, you know, a lot of people are trying to discharge like, their credit cards and then keep the credit cards open. Well, that's not possible. When you discharge your credit cards, the companies are going to shut down your account, close your accounts, and they're not going to deal with you. So you have to think. Sometimes people call us and they say, oh, I want to discharge all my credit cards. And then when we tell them that, they say, oh, well, I don't want to do that. Maybe what they really want is they want leverage. Maybe what they really want is they want credit. They want more credit. They want more power. They want more leverage to use to make an investment. Did you know that over a 10-year period, in 2001 to 2011, the price of gold went up 5.4 times the amount, 540% increase. The price of silver in that same time period, 2001 to 2011, I have the months written down. You can just Google and type in price of silver charts, price of gold charts, historic, right? And you can find the exact months in there, but I remember that they were both 2001, 2011. The price of silver went up 10 times. You have a 10-fold increase over a 10-year period, right? Now, even if you were to buy and sell at different times and not get that full 10-fold increase and you only were able to buy it and sell it at a slightly different time and get a 5-fold increase instead of a 10-fold increase on silver, or a 2 or 3-fold increase on gold instead of a 5-fold increase on gold. Same thing with Bitcoin. You know, you could have made a 5-fold increase on Bitcoin, but if you make a 2-fold increase or a 3-fold increase on it, or 1.5-fold increase on it in a 3-month, 4-month, 5-month, 6-month period of time with Bitcoin, which is very possible if you just download the app on your phone, keep looking at the Bitcoin price 3-4 times a day, look at it in the news, see what's going on, follow it, you know, get involved with it. It's not that hard for someone with some credit and some leverage, you know, $10,000 of room on their credit card, right, to buy Bitcoin, buy gold, buy silver when it's low, or buy stock when it's low. and then sell it when it's high. You can do it the same day. It's called day trading. You could do it the same day. You can do it over a few weeks. You could do it over a few months. You could do it over a few years. And for anyone that has their house free and clear, if it was me, I would mortgage the house again or sell it, cash out the $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, whatever the value of the house is, put it into a trust account, and have the investments pay you 2, 3, 4, 5 fold over 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and you never have to work again. That's what I would do. Okay? So there's different ways. My point is that there's different ways when your mind is always focused on, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. You don't see behind you. You need to look and see 360 degrees around you. If you're just looking in one direction, you might be missing something 20 degrees off that way, or 300 degrees off that way, or 160 degrees off that way. So what we try to do, and what I really encourage people before they come to us and ask us all these questions and beat us with, I need this done, and I need this done, I absolutely need this done, take a step back, take a breath. Please go to our website, www.whatisasecuredparty.com. www.whatisasecuredparty.com. And if you read that whole 14-page document, it may spark some other ideas of some other ways to improve the quality of your life, the quality of your finances, the fixing of the situations of your... There's another example. People want to discharge their tax debt. Well, you could just completely step out of the entire tax system. Then you wouldn't keep having these tax bills every year that you would have to fight and discharge and try to get down to balance down to zero. And, you know, if you just deal with the bigger picture, then you save yourself a lot of work and hassle every single year or every single few years when these things catch back up with you, right? So there's lots of ways to accomplish ultimately what you want. So think about and maybe write down a list. I would invite you to consider writing down a list of things that you ultimately want. Write half a page of what your dream lifestyle is, right? And where do you want to live, and how much money and assets you want to have, and how much, you know, cash flow coming in every month automated without you having to work would make you and your family comfortable. And just put all these things down on a piece of paper, and just be open to the fact that God or the universe or whatever you want to think about it will provide to you a different route to get to the ultimate end path of where it is that you want to go. But you have to, you know, in the world of creative visualization, there's a great book called Creative Visualization. I highly recommend it. There's a great book called Creative Visualization. There's also a great movie called The Secret. I think it came out in 2005, 2006. It's kind of a documentary about how our thoughts can shape our world and our reality. If you haven't seen The Secret, you've been living under a rock for the last 10 years, 11 years. There's a book as well called The Secret. You can find it at any bookstore, Barnes & Noble, etc. And there's a sequel to the book, The Secret, called The Power. And then there's a sequel to that book called The Magic. Okay? And doesn't have to do with any dark, you know, witchy type stuff or anything like that, but it's just called The Magic. When you read it, you'll find out. But you can grab these books off the bookshelf and start reading them in Barnes & Noble and see if they resonate with you. Open up to a random page and read a little bit on this page, a little bit on that page, and see if you want to invest the whatever it is, $8, $10 to buy the book, whatever, or, you know, I don't know how much it costs, but I read these books multiple times over the years, and I really highly, highly, highly endorse them. And for those of you that have read them or that do read them, when you talk with me on one of the back-end consultations, please let me know that you read the books. That would be a great way for us to bond together, get to know each other, know that we're of like mind and like spirit. I love when people eat the same foods as me, read the same books as me, and listen to the same inspirational material as me. So anyways, for those of you who read those books, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For those of you who haven't, write down a list of what your ideal lifestyle is that you would like to create. Be a little realistic, you know. Say, you know, 5 years from now, where do I want to live? What do I want to do? How much money do I want to have? Set it out 5 years, because then you don't get frustrated when, you know, you rip the month off of the calendar of August and it's September, and then you rip the month off of September and then it's October, and then it's getting to, you know, you don't want to get frustrated every time you rip the month off of a calendar, okay, and think, oh, I'm not there yet, and then you actually put out negative vibrations and negative intentions that actually work to counter your progress. This is why there are books called The Power of Prayer, The Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale. There's lots of materials out there about this stuff. And you want to give yourself enough space and enough room to be calm and to be quiet. That's why they teach meditation, to quiet the mind. It's a very powerful manifestation tool, and some of the most intelligent and spiritually enlightened people in the entire world meditate daily. Okay, you know, you heard the monks in the Himalayas and Tibet, you know, meditating and having all sorts of amazing powers. So my recommendation is to set a ideal life and a lifestyle that you want to have 5 years out from now, not, you know, 3 months out from now, okay? And just be a little, if you get there quicker, then it's great, then you have a lot to be happy about, okay? But you don't want to be, whenever you show up late, it causes, I mean, think about when you're trying to go to an appointment and you're running late, and you're like, I'm running late, and then what happens? You trip, you break glass, you know, your car doesn't start. It's because you're running late and you're frustrating yourself. So that sort of frenzy energy is not conducive to the manifestation process, okay? And for those of you who haven't read these books but are more religious, in all the different religions of the world, they talk about the power of prayer. Why do they reinforce and drill into every single religion, pray every day, right? Pray every day. The Christians, the Muslims, the Jews, everybody is taught to pray multiple times a day. You know, I think the Muslims pray like five, you know, there's five scheduled times that they pray, and they actually get on their knees and point to a certain direction, you know. So why did our parents teach us, if you were raised whatever religion, say your prayers before you go to bed? Because you're putting out your intentions, you're putting out your desires, you're putting out your wishes, and your wish is my command. Have you ever heard of your wishes? My wish is my command, that saying. So I hope that some of you appreciated the information and actually plan to go off on this area, but it's kind of part of what I'm all about. So if you're all about this too, then just let me know and I'd be happy to befriend you and go further from there. But in closing, I just want to reiterate that look at the website, whatisasecuredparty.com, and review everything, and maybe there's another way to get ultimately to your end goal. And you can decide that, and you can discuss that, or you and your partner, spouse, whatever, can, you know, figure that out after you read the document, so you know what else is available to you. Like I said, there are, so I mean, the bottom line, look, there's ways that we can discharge your debt. It's just not with Accepted for Value, okay? It's with the full secured party, the post secured party creditor full discharge process, okay? And so you can get with us and you can fill out the application on that sheet if you know, whenever you're ready for it, we can talk about that and we can do it and get it done, and we can absolutely get it done. So anyways, it's a pleasure doing these audios. I really think it saves us all a lot of time, and I will see you on the next one next week, and or the next time I get the opportunity to do it. And feel free to shoot your questions back to the email at understandcontractlawandyouwin.com. And like I said, I will read them all, and I will put the fill in the gaps of any missing information or clarity that you need on anything that I said in the previous audio. I will cover it in the next one. Okay? So God bless to you all. Blessings to you all. It's a pleasure to have many of you that I have gotten to know in the UCL family. And I really appreciate working with many, many, many more of you in the upcoming months and years. Okay, God bless. See you later.